And it was difficult to find supporting texts this evening sermon, because the sovereign will of God, that theme, permeates basically on every page of the Bible. So it was literally I fell on Proverbs chapter 19, verse 21, just to bring out that the sovereign will of the Lord will be done. And we are but a part of that. Our will is always conditional upon His overarching will. So verse 21 of the book of Proverbs. Chapter 19. Many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it is the purpose of the Lord that will stand. And then over to Acts chapter 21.
I opened my Bibles on Hebrews chapter 12 and I thought I was on the wrong page.
We're looking at Acts chapter 21 and we're reading verse 13 through to 14. And of course this is where Paul says, I need to go to Jerusalem. I need to go and address the council there. And the people is imploring him to stay because they know that he'll be arrested in Jerusalem. They know it's not safe for him to go. But yet Paul insists because he feels driven by the will of the Lord to go. So after seeing that they will not bend his will, verse 13 says, Then Paul answered, what are you doing weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be imprisoned, but even to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And since he would not be persuaded, we ceased and said, let the will of the Lord be done. And I'll speak, or I'll mention a bit more about that during the sermon. The text this evening is Matthew 6, verse 10, but I'll just read through the whole passage from verse 5 through to verse 15. Chapter 6 of Matthew, from verse 5 through to verse 15. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So our text this evening, what we're focusing on is simply verse 10, the second half of verse 10, which says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and we'll pray together and ask the Lord's help. Father, we come before you again humbled by your word and your teaching. We pray that you will teach us how to pray. We ask, Lord, that by your word you may shape our hearts to be ever mindful of your will for us. We ask, Lord, that your word will go forth. We ask that it will achieve its purposes and not return void. And we rest in the full assurance that it would do so. We ask, Lord, that you will guide my thoughts and my speech so that it will be in accordance with what your word teaches. We ask this for your glory alone in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so the title this evening is Our Father's Will Be Done. Our Father's Will Be Done. And I want to ask you a question. Just think about what will make you happy. What will make you happy this evening, right now, maybe tomorrow? What will make you happy? Well, I hope you all have something in your mind. I'm not going to ask you to share it with me, but I suppose it might be such things as a house or a holiday in Fiji. For me, it's a llama. I would love a llama. I mean, you probably have something in mind that you say that if only I had that, I would be happy, even if only for a time. Now, if you have something in your mind, I wonder if you could see, just reflect a little bit, what is behind that object or holiday or that llama? What's behind it? And I think you'll find that what's behind it is your will. So really, your will make you happy. Getting what you want, doing what you want, going where you want to go. What will make you happy most of all in your life is if your will be done. Whenever you want your will to be done, right? Because you don't want your will always to be done. You see, so people believe that because they don't believe that pursuing God's will make them happy. You see, we believe that our will make us happy because we don't have assurance, certainty that doing God's will is the source of all joy and all happiness and all peace. But Jesus taught his followers to pray, "Let thy will be done in heaven and on earth as it is in heaven." Because Christ knew that the secret to joy, the secret to happiness, is doing the will of your Father in heaven on earth. Doing the will of your Father in heaven on earth. So 3 points this evening. What we pray for. First point. What we pray for in this petition. How the prayer is answered. Second point. And why pray this prayer. What's the ultimate reason for praying it? So what we pray for. As we come to the text then, we see that the petition or the request is given to us in two parts. The first being, let your will be done. And the first part of the petition points us to God's effectual will, i.e. His will which causes whatever He decrees to come to pass. By this we are reminded that God is sovereign. Our will is conditional upon His will. By praying this, God's people acknowledges God's sovereignty. Now this does not mean that God's sovereign will is dependent upon us praying for it to be done. Nor does it mean that what God decrees can be influenced by human prayers. His decrees, what He predestines, what He foreordains, is based in His sovereign will. And it will come to pass. And in this sense, His will be done. And we simply are acknowledging that fact when we say, let your will be done. But God's will can also be understood in a preceptive sense. And we see this with the second part of the petition, when we say, on earth as it is in heaven. So this does not mean that God has several wills, like a person with a multiple personality disorder. It simply means that we must understand the will of God to express itself in different ways. In one sense, it is effectual. It will take effect. While in another sense, it is expressed in precepts. In other words, in laws and commandments and statutes. Now, when we pray the words on earth as it is in heaven, we are acknowledging that God's will is not being accomplished on earth as it is in heaven. And the question is, in what way? How is His will not being done on earth as it is in heaven? And the answer, of course, is in that His precepts are being violated on earth and not in heaven. On earth, His laws are being broken. In heaven, there is full obedience. So what is Jesus teaching us to pray with the words, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven"? Simply this. Let your preceptive will, i.e. your laws, your commandments, and your statutes, be upheld on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is teaching us to ask for God's revealed will, as expressed in His precepts, to be done by us on earth as it is being done in heaven by the angels and the saints who has gone before. So we are not praying that God will bring His purposes to pass. We are praying that God's express will for us will be done by us. That's important. It will be done by us. As R.C. Sproul writes, "We know that the sovereign will of God is always accomplished, not just in heaven, but also on earth. That's why I," this is he, "do not think Jesus is referring here to the sovereign will of God. I think he must have the preceptive will of God in view, because the preceptive will of God is always obeyed by angels and the glorified believers in heaven. There is no sin in heaven. This is because all who are in heaven have been brought into full conformity to the law of God. Rather than chafing against God's law, they glory in it. They find their absolute joy in it." So can you see that what we are essentially asking is that God be obeyed on earth as He is obeyed in heaven? The Catechism brings this out as well when it says, "Help everyone to carry out the work he is called to as willingly and faithfully as the angels in heaven." Or as Ursinus, this was one of the contributors to the Heidelberg Catechism, well, he wrote, the sense of the petition is, "Cause and grant that we may do not our own will, which is corrupt and perverse, but thine, which alone is just and holy, and may yield obedience to thee." So maybe it comes down to this. In praying this petition, we confess that we have a master in heaven, whom we desire to obey on earth, while at the same time recognizing that our obedience on earth is not as it will be in heaven. But how is the prayer answered then? How is the prayer answered? Our second point. I'll just remind you that we are looking at the third petition of the Lord's Prayer. And if you are familiar with the first two, you might have noticed that there is a logical flow between them. The first petition, a petition is a request. The first petition is, "Hallowed be thy name." This is followed by, "Thy kingdom come," and then, "Let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And we see the logical flow in this. The name of God is hallowed. It is recognized as being holy only by those in His kingdom. This kingdom has come with the coming of the Lord Jesus and the establishing of His church. The kingdom already established has, however, not yet been fully consummated, because God's name is not hallowed by everybody on earth, right? The kingdom is, however, expanding as people from every tribe and nation and language are gathered into the kingdom through the proclamation of the gospel. Thus, the kingdom is advanced by means of His will being done by us, which we then pray will happen. That's the logic behind it. But you may now think, what is the difference between the second and the third request? They sound very similar. In fact, so similar that in Luke's Gospel, where we find an abbreviated form of the Lord's Prayer, the third request is not mentioned. And it's possible that it's because they're so intimately related. But there is a subtle difference between the two. As I have already noted, there is a logical flow to the requests. But more than that, if you look closely, you shall find that with the second request, we ask that the church may exist. Let your kingdom come. We ask, let your church be exist and sustained. Be preserved, and in the end, let your church be glorified. With the third petition, we ask that everyone in the church will do their duty. Let your will be done by us. To quote your Sinus again, he says, we pray that God may, as it were, bury in us all corrupt desires and wishes, and that He alone work in us by His Spirit, so that we, being sustained by divine grace, may discharge our various duties and carry out the end of our calling. So we are asking that God has revealed. So we are asking that what God has revealed with regards to the mission of the church, His purpose for our lives, and what we owe to authorities and to Him be done by us. Now, this was so magnificently imaged by the Apostle Paul. And that's why I read Acts 21. As we read earlier, you see, nothing could sway him from fulfilling his mission under God. And in the end, those around him said, let the will of the Lord be done. Let the will of the Lord be done. And this was not some fatalistic utterance. They were not saying, oh, Paul, we can't persuade you, so now we sort of give you over into the hands of the Lord, sort of putting you in this little ship in an ocean, and let the Lord's will be done for you. You know, it wasn't defeatist. They were saying, Paul, we can see that there is a higher purpose, i.e. the mission of the church is at work in your life. So go and let the will of the Lord be done by you. Can you see? And I want to ask you, who was Paul imitating in that passage? Whose example was he following? You can answer. Yes. Paul was simply doing what his master, who came to do not his own will, but the will of him who sent him, did. And what did Jesus do? Well, he remained obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Obedient to what? Obedient to the Father's will. And what was the Father's will? Well, for example, in Isaiah 53, we read that it was the Father's will to crush him. And that means that Jesus would be crushed under the weight of our sin, as the full punishment for our sin was poured out on him from the cup of God's wrath. Congregation, I want you to know that Jesus Christ was the only man in history who have ever experienced hell on earth. And it was because he understood. It's because he understood the full horror, the unthinkable terror, the unimaginable despair and excruciating pain of hell, that he would, when he was praying in the garden before he was taken away, it was because he understood that he said these words, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if there is any other way, may it be so. If there be any other way for God's people to escape eternal death, if there be any other way for their sins to be forgiven, if there be any other way to save God's people, may it be so. But if not, he says, let your will be done. Again, is Jesus saying this sort of with a sigh? That he with a heavy heart sort of is begrudgingly entrusting himself into the mysterious will of God. Despairing, Lord, let your will be done. Is it like Jesus is helplessly placed at the mercy of an angry God, like an invalid is placed into a wheelchair? Or worse, is it that Jesus did not want to be obedient? Think about these things. Why did he pray that? Of course, it was none of the above. For it was the Son's will to do the will of the Father. What Jesus was facing, congregation, was hell. And as he was about to enter the torture unto and on the cross, he was saying, Father, if this is what you want me to do, this is what I will do. Not my will, but your will be done by me. And the humiliation of Christ, the will of the Father, and in the humiliation of Christ, the will of the Father was done by the Son. And in this, Jesus teaches us how the will of God is to be done by us. And if for the will of God to be done by us is our primary desire, our prayer too will be, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So, the third point then, why pray this prayer? It is again profitable to read to you what your Sinus wrote at this point. He said that we pray first of all that God would bestow upon us His grace so as to enable us to deny and renounce our own corrupt and perverse will and be willing to suffer the loss of all things contrary to His will. We see this also reflected in the Catechism when it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven means, help us and all men to reject our own wills and to obey your will without any backtalk. So the question now is why? Why would we ever want to pray this prayer? And the answer is given in Romans 12:2, where the apostle writes, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. The will of God, in other words, is good and acceptable and perfect. And it is from passages like these that the Catechism can say, your will alone is good. And it is because the will of God is good and acceptable and perfect that we pray, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It would be insanity not to want the goodness of heaven on earth. And we realize that if God's good will be done perfectly by all people on earth, then heaven would be on earth. But we realize that such perfection has only ever once been seen on earth after Genesis chapter 3. And that was when the Lord Jesus Christ manifested heaven on earth by doing the will of the Father on earth as it is being done in heaven. Jesus displayed sinless perfection throughout his earthly life. And that is because he delighted in the law of God. His greatest joy was to do the will of the Father, for he loved the Father with his whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. And really, when Jesus teaches us to pray this request, he is affirming that we cannot do what he has done. He is reminding us that the will of God is now only done in heaven as it ought to be done. People on earth do not strive to glorify God. They do not seek the kingdom of God. They do not allow the name of God. They do not hallow the name of God. And as you are confronted with this as Christians, as people who desire to see these things happen, you pray and you plead, oh Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is now in heaven. Jesus has given us an example of perfection for which to hope for which to long for which to strive for in this life, but which will only be realized in the life to come. Now that seems very defeatist, doesn't it? Pray for something that you know won't happen? Why do that? simply because to pray in such a manner assures us that what will be consummated in heaven has already commenced on earth. And that means that Christians can and must exhibit the kind of obedience which is in heaven on earth. Not to the degree of the heavenly saints and angels, but in kind. As one commentator writes, we desire the perfect obedience which will be ours in heaven on earth, while recognizing that even though God has given us the ability to obey by His Spirit, our flesh is weak. Thus, we must endure the impossibility of perfection in this life, whilst nevertheless striving for it, resting in the certainty that we will have all things perfectly in the life to come. It is, in other words, a reflection of heaven seen in the lives of God's people that creates in us the desire to pray this prayer. And when we see that reflection, we can pray with Martin Luther, for example, who said, when he prays, convert those who have yet to acknowledge thy good will, that they with us and we with them may obey thy will, and for thy sake gladly, patiently, and joyfully bear every evil, cross and foe, and thereby acknowledge, test, and experience thy kind, gracious, and perfect will. Or to simply use the words of Jesus, who said, pray like this, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.